Direct from the web, it's Billy Masters live.
Oh my God, we're live.
And now, please welcome your host, Billy Masters.
Oh my God, thunderous applause. I'm applauding for myself. This is the sound of one hand clapping. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Billy Masters Live. Of course, I am your host, Billy Masters. And today, thank you, Monica, is Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, otherwise known as Pride Month. Oh, my God, another Pride. You know, there are times, I'm going to sit back and relax. There are times when you think to yourself, you know, Pride. The fuck do I have to be proud of? But you know what? We all have so much to be proud of. We all have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be grateful for. You know, just getting through the past 2 years, frankly, we all should get a parade. I know there's not going to be parades, although some places are having parades. No place that I'm... Well, that's not true. I believe Fort Lauderdale is having a parade in 2 weeks, somebody will tell me, in Wilton Manors, I believe. I'm not going to be there for it, but happy Pride. And I know, you know, Puerto Vallarta just had Pride and Provincetown had Pride. And... You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I grew up in the church, and when they would say, you know, whenever two or more are gathered together, well, that's kind of how I feel about Pride, that, you know, whenever I get together with my friends who are gay allies, you know, you feel like, okay, we're still here, and, you know, nobody's throwing a rock at us, nobody's beating us up. You know, I don't want to... downplay anything, but one good thing is I have not heard about as much gay hate crimes. You know, there's still shootings, but you know, I think there are bigger problems than frankly worrying about if somebody next door is sucking dick. It's just me. What do I know? Anyway, last year would have been LA's 50th anniversary of Pride. And as those of you who are in the Los Angeles area know, I co-hosted the main stage of LA Pride for, oh my God, 7 years in a row. I mean, we keep having to look this up. One year I said five and I was so wrong. It's at least 7 years in a row. And you know, there's a group of us who have done Pride things. And what has happened is before RuPaul's Drag Race, there were very, very few gay celebrities, as Wilson Cruz, I believe, called them sub-celebrities. We saw celebrities in this little subgroup, like, you know, the gays knew us and nobody else, which was totally fine with me. What do I need straight people for? Nothing against you. You know, I'll sleep with straight men as easily as I will gay men. Anyway, and so there are, you know, there's a group of us. There were some people from the real world, Norm Corpy, who's going to be here, by the way, later this month. Oh, my God. All right. Before I get to anything, can I tell you, I decided last year during June, during Pride Month, we would have only openly gay guests. And I'm doing the same thing this year. And I have so many guests coming up. I believe, don't quote me on this. For the rest of the month, I think we're going back to two shows. Because I have too many, I got gay men coming and going. Paul Rudnick is coming on the show. Dan Matthews from PETA, who has a great new book, he's coming on. We're celebrating Broadway Bears in like 2 weeks. The huge fundraiser for Broadway Cares. They're coming on. We're doing a tribute show to Sylvester. We're having Norm Corpy from The Real World with Eric Meese. Who else? There's a couple of panel shows coming up. So we got so many shows coming up that I said, you know what? Let's go back to two shows a week. So check out BillyMasters.com. The schedule will be there. I swear to you. Anyway, so going back to Pride. Before I moved to LA, I had hosted Pride in Boston many years down the Cape. I hosted New York Pride 25, the 25th anniversary of Stonewall. So when I got to LA, I had always hosted alone. And there is somebody, you know, we were given the option, if I recall correctly, and Mama / Worthy will be able to correct me if I'm wrong. Prior to us taking over the main stage, it had always been a single person. And I believe Carlise had done it the year before we did. And I think she had done it for 3 or 4 years. And we were asked if we wanted to split up our time, like do 3 hours and 3 hours. And we said, why don't we do it together for like 6 hours? Just take over the stage for both days of the weekend. And it was the, you know, it's funny. I don't believe Mama, because it was Mama there. And I don't think either of us had ever worked as part of a duo. We'd worked with lots of people, but you know, when we host something, we host it. And it was one of the greatest decisions of my life to say I wanted to share the stage, the responsibility, and the fun with someone. So while all of you know her as Mama, Mama couldn't be here tonight. Billy Masters is here, but Mama couldn't be here. But who is here is Mama's alter ego, the man behind Mama. Worthy Meacham is here.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, my darling. How are you? Look at you. I got to do you full screen. Look how proud you are. So now, is it my recollection correct that we were offered to do it separately? Why did we just like look at each other and just say, why not?
Well, you're the one who brought it up to me.
We do the Bad Boys pool party first? We may have.
We may have.
And that may have been what gave us the idea.
Yes. Yeah.
But I remember us talking, and the great thing about working with Mama is that we have a sixth sense, and we also have no problem talking, and that's the key to any good partnership. We could, like Mama would say, you know, the next person coming out is a personal friend of mine. Can I do it alone? I'm like, yeah, go. Yeah. And, or, you know, look, Mama, I want to suck off this guy in the dressing room, so could you just take care of the next half hour?
Never happened.
All right, 10 minutes. That's all I needed, 10 minutes. I could bring a man to ecstasy in 30 seconds or less. But, you know, it was, and we also, testament to our improvisational skills, after years and years of playing every toilet in the country, they would say to us sometimes, stall, the act isn't ready. And we'd be out there like 5-10 extra minutes.
Oh,
and
one time we were out there for 40 minutes.
Oh, I do remember that. And, all right, so this is one of my favorite parts of Pride. Every year I would say, Mama, tell us the beautiful story of Stonewall. Yeah. So please, tell us the story.
Wow. Well, you know, Gay Pride has turned into something that really doesn't look like anything that I believe it should.
And agreed.
It's us challenging the world about our history and how we've fought. All the time we hear people say, why isn't there a straight pride?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is, every day is straight pride for you people. You know,
it's true.
Every day. But there was a time when there was no gay people really on in any media form. Now, they were there, like the Paul Lynns and the Liberace's and all these people that were famous, but they were not out. Because if they were out, they would be fired and taken off air and they would have their careers ruined.
Correct.
Like the way Ellen came out, and then Ellen was in the desert for many, many years before her talk show came back. So
and here we are.
And here we are. And so, you know, the Stonewall riots happened in New York at the end of the year, Stonewall was not a glamorous bar.
Oh God, it was a pit.
It was a pit. And you would go there to pick up hustlers or transvestite prostitutes or trans prostitutes, a lot of alcoholics, a lot of gay men that were very shameful of who they were.
And we should bring up, let me just interrupt for a second, is that that was a time, and people don't believe it when I tell them, that was a time that if you were dancing with another man, you could be arrested. And they, people would watch the door at a gay club and like knock on the wall, and the lights are coming up and you would just be standing there. Because if you were caught just dancing, it's like Footloose for gay people. If you were caught dancing, you could be arrested.
That's right. That's right. And so all over the country, in LA here, we had the Black Cat riots before Stonewall. And the Stonewall riots happened because a group of gay men, trans women, were sort of mourning Judy Garland's death. And they went to see her funeral on televised in that bar. And the police came in and raided it. And they said, no, please don't do that. We're honoring Judy Garland. And they did not. They continued with the raid. And a couple of people stood up and started to fight back. And then from that, they rioted on the streets of Greenwich Village for 3 weeks, not 3 days.
And it should be noted that allegedly, because it's part of folklore, that it was a drag queen who threw the first brick.
Right. Yes.
Because I will say, as a gay man, I will say, we are never the first to do anything. Ever. It is the lesbians or the drag queens.
That's right, exactly.
There's a reason why the Dykes on Bikes start every parade. They have earned that right.
They have earned that right, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And so, you know, so the next year, on the anniversary of the riots, here in LA, we had the very first gay pride parade to honor the Stonewall riots. And so LA has been a huge leader in the gay rights movement. We had the first gay GLBT center in the country. We had a lot of firsts here in this city.
Rights for people. They couldn't be thrown out of their apartments. They couldn't be fired from their jobs. There were more protections. And it should be noted that West Hollywood, where you and I hosted and called home for many years, was the first incorporated gay city that was in the city charter protecting the rights of gay people.
Correct.
It was founded for protection. I say gay rights. It wasn't just gay rights. There were immigrants. There were the Hasidic Jews. So many. There were so many people. It was protecting the rights of all. And right. It was specifically written into the charter, and they have been a leader and really been a welcoming haven for gay people around the world.
Yes. And unfortunately, gay people can't afford to live there anymore.
That is absolutely true. There is this gentrification that we've seen in so many places where the gay people make something nice and then they're kind of eased out to people, up and coming yuppies who can afford to live there.
Right.
Which is funny because nobody ever wanted to live in West Hollywood when we were there. Although before us, it was a really chic place for movie stars to live in. Marilyn Monroe had lived there. Betty Davis had lived there. So many people. It really does have a wonderful history.
It sure does. Yeah.
What's left of it?
Right.
It's hard to see. I have, and I showed this last year, but I don't mind showing it again. We had a message from you and I had the best spots on the main stage. We did Saturday and Sunday, the second half of the day. So we usually showed up like around 4 to 10, something like that. And so anybody who is a big performer performed during our shifts.
The headliners.
Yeah. And so who are some of the headliners that you remember fondly?
Well, I've always been friendly with Cyndi Lauper.
Yep, she's great.
So that was great. There was a lot of people that showed up and just, you know, they were supposed to be there for 20 minutes and they would go
forever.
An hour, you know.
Yep, Joan Jett gave us a full concert with the Black Hearts. That was unbelievable. En Vogue. The original lineup of En Vogue.
The original En Vogue. They were amazing.
Oh, they were so great. Fantasia from... Oh. We had a lot of American Idols.
Yes.
But this is this was one of my favorites, only because it really... this is somebody who is iconic for me my whole life. Let's just show a clip. She had sent us this last year.
Oh. Hi, everyone. This is Olivia Newton-John, and I wanted to wish you all... the most wonderful 50th anniversary of LA Pride. And I know with Billy Masters and Mama as your virtual co-host, it's going to be a fantastic event. So happy Pride.
She couldn't have been nicer that night. Do you remember?
Oh, very much so. You know, I...
And that was a full concert too.
That was a full concert. I performed with Los Angeles Opera for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I hosted a lot of their benefits. Mm-hmm. And one year she was on the board and she performed at a thing that I hosted. And so we met through that. And when she performed that night, she came into my dressing room and saw me, you know, an hour before she went on. We had a lovely conversation, caught up. And, you know, she's just one of our favorite people because she's always been a supporter of the gay community. And the gay community has always loved her.
Yeah, she is iconic, and what a heart! I mean, I've worked with her a few times at other events, but that was the first time I'd really spent a lot of time with her. I'm trying to, you know, the Pointer Sisters had been there, the Go-Go, the Bangles performed with us. I mean, it was just, you know, it's funny because I always tell people think that because we're in Hollywood that it's easy, and there is nothing easy about being in Hollywood. And people think that like shows come together simply because it's Hollywood, but then we had a very scrappy group of stage managers and technical people who really worked hard for a long time to make us look good.
Right. And I, you know, before you and I hosted for 2 years prior of that.
That's, you know, correct.
It was the, you know, the lesbian cloggers and, you know, all these people. And I'm like, we're in Hollywood. Have better performances.
Yeah, I had friends that would say to me, you know, how can you not? But what people don't understand is, and again, this is unfortunate, but it's true, is that Pride is big business. And it's one of the things we talk about all the time, that it's not what we think in an ideal world it should be. And, you know, I don't want to give names, but somebody like a Kathy Griffin will go to Milwaukee because they'll give her $75,000 to do a show. And we had the money. I should never say we didn't have the money. We had the money, but we had 2 full days of constant entertainment. So our money was really split. And we kept thinking, oh, people are here in town. They'll do it for less because they're here. Well, we would compete on the same weekends. And as a Bostonian, I know this, Boston Pride would very often be the same weekend. So if somebody could go to Boston and make $50,000 when we're offering $20,000, what are they going to do? They go to Boston. So we did not, it took a very long time for us to really figure out how to do it.
Well, and I want to say that, you know, at the time, I don't know what they're doing now, but Christopher Street West at the time was a very much a charitable organization.
It was.
That used their money to give back to the community throughout the year. And so we had a budget that we would spend on entertainment, and the rest of that money would go out and help our community with youth and with other senior issues. And
Homelessness,
you know.
Yeah, I think that people don't understand that the bigger the name performing, yes, it cost more, but we could also get more people to pay to come in, and that money went back into the community. And they did, I don't know now. Well, I don't think Christopher Street West is involved in West Hollywood anymore anyway.
No.
But they did give money to a lot of grassroots organizations that were right there. And that was another reason why, you know, that's the other thing. When we talk about people got rich doing Pride, we were not two of those people.
No.
It usually cost us money to do it, frankly.
Well, especially me, because you would put on your same, you know, outfits.
I changed shirts. That was it. Right.
I would create these, you know, outfits.
Well, we did this thing, and it was mostly, I mean, you did it because you have a reputation of giving a whole experience. But we both upped each other's game, because we would change every single time we went on stage. And I would just change shirts. Okay, I'm ready. And Mama would be backstage with like three men in the jaws of life. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So it was a lot of work, and costumes that you couldn't necessarily reuse.
Well, right.
I mean, some you did, but you know.
Yeah. The secret was, because at the time I was traveling the country too, doing all these gay prides, so I'd have
right
all these gay pride outfits that I would wear, you know, in different states that nobody ever saw me wear that lived in LA.
Right. And we should also mention that you were canonized on Mother's Day. Oh, God, it's got to be like 2000, maybe.
Yeah. Saints, you mean?
Yes, sainted.
By the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
For all the money and fundraising and hard work you had done on behalf of our community.
Yeah.
And which was a beautiful day. I remember that day, and it was on Mother's Day, fittingly enough.
Yes, at the.
Yep, at the Abbey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll in our talk last year with Polly Perrette and Willem. But is there anything before I get rid of you, just dump you? Because this stage ain't big enough for the two of us. What else do you, is there anything you want to just say to people?
I just want to say, this Pride Month, whether you're gay, straight, black, or white, you know, whatever, it's all about being your authentic self. Living in you, who you really are. And when you don't tell people who you really are, you're telling people that you're ashamed of who you are. So everyone today, make a choice to be authentic and tell your truth, no matter who you are. Live in your truth and be proud of it. And that's what Gay Pride is all about.
I couldn't have said it better. And by the way, we have a message from one of our friends. Aaron Quill says hi. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
We love you. And we should also say, too, you know, all the minorities, I mean, you said colors, but, you know, particularly our Asian brothers and sisters, particularly right now with the pandemic, hopefully coming to an end. I mean, there's been, you know, when I said there's been a decrease in gay hate crimes, well, we're all sitting home. But, you know, our Asian brothers and sisters have gone through an awful time. You know, people like Aaron who were born here, like,
right,
you know, I mean, it's so mad. I mean, as if that shouldn't matter anyway, but it's like, leave me alone, you know.
There's a lot of ignorance out there.
Oh, yes.
Your ignorance. And one thing that I love about this whole Black Lives Matter and all this stuff is that it really has shown me how my being white has really given me this special ability that other people don't have. And I am trying my best to live in their truth.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say something, you know, one of my close friends is Jennifer Lewis, as you know. And when I would call her and hear a story and call her and say, I didn't know anything about this. And she's like, why would you? That's why you have to talk to people, because it's not part of our experience.
Right.
And, you know, we can talk and we can be sympathetic, but we need to listen.
Great.
And darling, I love you more than I can say. I can't wait for the day we are on a stage together, or even just having lunch, frankly.
Well, when you get back to L.A.
You know I will.
Do the lunch.
Sweetheart, thank you. Happy Pride. I love you so much.
Thank you, Billy.
Bye, sweetheart. Okay, and now let's go into our show from last year. So I'll be back at the end. So here we go. Can we go?
First year, who was always backstage with us. I didn't know who she was. She was the friendliest person. She was kind of kooky. And I knew she had been an actress. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Everyone's an actress. And whenever we would need something, she would jump in and say, let me help. And lo and behold, I'm turning channels. And all of a sudden, she's on a show. And I said, that's that girl who I was hanging out with backstage. So I brought her in because she's a friend of all of ours and a friend of our community, Miss Polly Perrette.
Woo, Polly!
And Joey!
Hi,
I miss you!
Mama, I saw your face and I almost started crying. I miss you so much.
You were backstage with the... Polly, you were backstage with us every year, and it seemed like for the entire festival, like, you just were, like, one of the gang.
Yeah, I know, and it was so... You know, Gan, you're, like, a masterpiece, because when you're just saying all the things that you do, because when I... You know, we marched every year, and we would get there. This is Joey. Joey's always with me. You guys know Joey.
And I love Joey. Joey's helped me, so thank you, Joey.
Yes, yes. But you just listed all the things you were in charge of, and I just think, Gan and I have not only this together, but we also work in with CBS together and a million things for a million years.
Right.
And gosh, you were so calm and cool and collected. Everything, it just boggled my mind, all the things you were doing. But yeah, I would just sort of like show up and be like, whatever you need. There'd be a couple of times where I mean, they were like, when mom is doing a million things too, and sometimes mom would go, get out there. And I go, okay, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, just go out.
And I remember you pitching in and being on stage with both of us, sometimes together, sometimes with whomever was around. Sometimes I think we actually just threw you on stage by yourself because you could
mom,
do
it. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I mean, luckily, I guess I never stop talking, like, ever. And so I just go out there and like riff with the crowd, like I mean, it was crazy. It's just so I get like teary though, because I have so many beautiful memories of all of that, like just everything. I mean, when you just contacted me to talking about this, and when Gayana and I have been texting, and I'm like, I'm so flooded. I'm sure everyone is, like, just flooded. And the world has changed. I mean, like, these are going to be, like, memories that I don't know if we'll ever be able to recreate, you know?
Gayanne, could you tell me how you guys met initially?
I've known Polly since she was, like underage, I think. like, a long time ago.
I'm a lot older than I look.
Yeah. She was in, it was the club days, like not even like just, I don't even remember, but she was performing in bands and stuff. And then suddenly, you know, she got a role. She started working at CBS, and then we reconnected because I've been at CBS for 31 years. So I'm older than I look.
I've been 2 decades, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? And I used to be, okay, it was Club Cherry and Club Makeup, both of them. Right. And again, Club Makeup, I used to co-host at Club Makeup. I'd throw me up on stage and I'd start ripping over there, which was another, but Gayana and I've known each other forever. And it's interesting because you know how you'll have great relationships with people. I'm not a good out of context person. So it's like, we knew each other like from this world first. And then it's like, whoa, we're like in our professional lives together, me and Gayana. It's like, yeah.
And we're two peas in a pod, and we get into so much trouble.
Good trouble.
Always good trouble.
Well, it's funny because, Polly, I remember when we first met backstage, and you didn't have I don't think you had a series at that point.
No.
And you were just sort of like, oh, what do you need? And would really sort of be like with all the volunteers to the side, except you were really helping us more with the performers. And that's when I realized, oh, she knows what she's doing.
Well, I've actually been on a TV show like every single day of my life in LA. I booked my first TV show the weekend I came out here to visit. Like 100 years ago, which was also CBS. Actually, my first show was CBS. And then, but then the only time I wasn't on a show is when I ran away and joined a punk rock band. So people run away and join the circus. It's like, I was on the show that I couldn't stand. And I like literally joined the band, and then we got signed. And then I was on the Warped Tour. So I was like the lead singer of an all girl punk pop band. And now I'm on the Warped Tour. It was just nuts. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's so interesting, Bill, to hear you say that, because to everyone in that life and our whole life of like doing all these amazing things with like for LGBT awareness and everything we were fighting for and marching, then in that crowd, my secret life is that I was an actress.
Yeah, to me, you were just the only one that said
that. A lot of people that don't watch, you know, things that if anybody, that people are like, oh my God, that guy, you'll see me on TV and they're like, wait, that's that weird chick that's always hanging out at Pride.
That's my recollection. People would say, oh, I know her from the show. And I'm like, no, that's somebody else. This is just one of those club girls.
All the time. And people come up to me, Joey knows this. The thing I hear the most, and also because I always look like crap. That's my secret, my superhero secret look, is I just always look terrible in my real life. And if I'm out somewhere, the thing I hear the most is they go, whoa, you look so much like Polly Perrette. I think you've been with me when people say that to me.
Yes.
She doesn't say anything. She just laughs. Depending on my mood, I'll say like, but she's taller, or you know. And then the funniest thing I've heard other people, celebrities or famous people, say this too. The weirdest thing is when they go, "You look like Polly Perrette," and I go, "Actually, I am." And then they go, "No, you're not." All the time. "No, you're not." I'm like, okay. I mean, why would I lie? It's so weird.
Mama, did you know Polly from the club days?
Oh yeah, we knew each other from club makeup and from club chair. Yeah,
I was kind of Mama's sidekick at makeup too. Yeah.
So again, it seemed to me that when I was thinking of who we'd have on for this virtual Pride, because nobody else is doing anything, I said, you know, there were people that I don't think the audience realized were really part of the inner circle. And when I think of Pride, the four of us were really, and Joey, I don't know you, but of course I love you because you've been great. Were you there too? Were you there with the?
Oh, yeah.
I was a little busy.
We met through, we've known each other 20 years, and we actually met at Club Cherry, Club Makeup.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a very small gay world. Well, we did have somebody else who was with us back then. We had, at a certain point, Gayenne, and Gayenne can probably fill in the gaps. Oh my God, who's the beautiful dog? Hi, baby. Oh my God, I love it. Oh, and Polly, before I go to the next person, can I just say, I loved Broke. I think you did some amazing work. I loved reading how it helped heal you from the bad experience in the past. And so I just want to say that thank you for making us laugh and giving sort of the quirky person a place in the center of the stage.
You know, it's funny, I hear that word a lot applied to myself, quirky, and I guess if you are, I mean, at this point I'm like, I guess I am. I don't really know what that means because I'm just me.
Again,
I was looking at you when you were saying that because of this, our secret lives as like people in the industry. Gayan has been with me through so many shows, so many things. It's like, but thank you for mentioning that. I it's just interesting that it happens to be Thursday right now. Tonight, and I was just thinking about this earlier. I was like, whoa, because, you know, you shoot a show. People often think that we, like, just shoot the show and it airs that day, you know? We shot this last year.
Wow.
And not, of course, never knowing what was going to happen. Tonight's episode, Gan, think about this. Okay, mm-hmm. It's the Cinco de Mayo episode, but obviously we're not hitting it on Cinco de Mayo. But the gist of the whole episode tonight is white Americans not understanding Latin culture, mm-hmm. and how we get it so wrong. And it's hilarious and it's incredibly poignant. And I'm like, wow. Like, we did this last year. If we had shot it this afternoon and it aired tonight, we couldn't have been more on point.
Wow.
Amazing.
You know, sometimes those things come together just like, and on the flip side, the opposite side, it had the unfortunate timing of coming out around the time Indebted was out there. And people like, well, is that the same show? And I'm like, they're so different, but people lump things together. Had it been at a different time, it probably would have stood out on its own a lot more.
Well, I think there was a lot of things. And I mean, look, looking at everything in the world, well, you got nothing to complain about. But
yeah,
we came out, the show is so beautiful and I love it so much. And then right when we were about to start is when COVID was that first wave when everybody was like, oh my God. So we were, I don't know, promoting a show in the middle of a pandemic, opening a show in the middle of a pandemic, just craziness. Like, it has been, it has just been, like, I think in later on when I have time to process everything, if we, any of us ever could process all this, it's like a lot to think about. It was really nuts. What sucks is that our show is beautiful and it is a very poignant show and it's very funny. But what we were saying through comedy is so important on this show. And that's like, yeah. Oh, look, by the way, can you see our shirts?
No hate. There you go. Yep. I got them.
Because that's me. And so this is like, because Joey wore it over here and then I thought he was so much smarter than me. So I ran and put mine on too.
Oh, but, you're such a copycat.
That, yeah, I know. I've done it to him before. But you guys are, you know, all this is reminding me and, like I said, making me so like, but, you know, we were fighting so hard during all these times. And I know I'm gonna get off in a second, I promise. But
that's right. Go.
Oh, okay. But, you know, being a part of No Hate Campaign since the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, and like the what we were fighting for and marching and fighting and speaking. I talk about this part of my life where, like, you know, I had a job, but then my full-time job was like, and I talked to Dustin Lance Black about this a lot because a couple of summers ago, I spent the summer in Vancouver shooting When We Rise, the history of the LGBT movement. And, you know, I always saw him all the time, but it's like my full-time job was like, I was speaking, I was marching, I was speaking, I was donating, I was speaking, I was volunteering, I was speaking. Like, I just was constantly at a podium, like, speaking. And it was such an interesting memory. And I remember, like, everything with No Hate Campaign. Like, now this is like, you know, I was like vintage, but at the yeah. time, wow. And the other thing, we always march with our church, which is this, we go to Hollywood United Methodist, the greatest church ever. The one, you know, with the rainbow flags and we get vandalized all the time, that one. Because our church as together works so hard, kind of on the forefront in the nation of working for marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And we always march with our church. And because it was such, I think about those days, it was so weird and confusing for people, for us to be a church, right?
Right.
And it was really confusing for the awful people with the horrible signs. They were like, Jesus hates you. And we're like, we love you, every lift, we love you all, you know, like, whatever. Because the Jesus hates you people, like, ow. Like, we baffled them. We boggled their minds. And it was so fun. Like, it was so fun. And that was, like, a really big deal. Like, and I actually have a cross tattooed on my foot because when we would have, like, events on Sundays. It was always on Sundays, you know? And then, so our church, we would go, you know, we're a huge church, but we would,
a big
part of us would go and march. And I said to my pastor, her name's Kathy, she's from Alabama like me. And I said to Kathy, I was like, why does it always have to be on Sundays? And we were like, wait, I want to go to church and march, you know, if I could do both. And she said, you get out there and worship with your feet.
Thank you.
And I was like, wow.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
I always try. We also have our like rainbow church shirts. Oh, yeah. But I think this was a good one to
wear. We have a lot.
I don't know, Braun. I gotta be careful.
You know, you've been such a strong ally to this community and a vocal person. And I think, you know, people who put themselves out there on the front lines are also the first that people target with hate. And I think that I guess it was last year, maybe a year and a half ago, when you had the problems with the previous show.
I can't listen now.
No, all I was saying was that I loved, you know, that you spoke out because most people don't. And somebody said to me, do you know her? I said, I don't know anything about this, but if Paulie's speaking out,
right,
there's something to say. You're right.
Background so you can listen, Gan. I was speaking to my friend, Wendy. We were talking the other day, and she's my twin. I don't actually have a twin, but she's my twin. Because Wendy and I were born at the same time, on the same day, and the same year.
Wow.
And she's awesome. She's black, I'm white, and we're twins, right? So, like, she's so awesome. We've been texting a lot in the last few days. And one of the things we were talking about, people used to always ask me, because I'm a straight ally. I'm a total straight girl. And they're like, why are you always marching for LGBT rights? And I'm like, I always say, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to educate in my head. That's what I would
absolutely
say. And there's another dog. There's a room full of them. There's four over there. I'm a rescuer, but I, you know,
of course you are.
Telling Wendy the other day that I've always felt like, and I don't do everything right. I don't get it all right, but in my head, since I was young, I always thought that often civil rights issues are deemed as self-serving to whatever community is speaking out. So I've always thought that I'll use my female person self to say, men need to be standing up for women's rights, because I've always felt that way. And I say, like, it's the same philosophy, because otherwise it looks like a self-serving movement. You know, I always think that like straight people need to be standing up for LGBT rights, so it doesn't look like a self-serving movement. And also every single, whether it's Black Lives Matter or for every other, like when the Latino community that we, especially this administration, my God,
right.
It takes all of us to say, this isn't right.
Right.
You know, it takes all of us to stand up for each other. And so like being a straight ally was being loud about it was just so important to me, because I grew up down south, and I mean, wow, I grew up around a lot of bigotry, a lot.
Sure.
I don't know why, by the grace of God, me and my sister both have always just been like civil rights activists, like it's my earliest memory. And I'm glad it didn't go the other way. Lord, have mercy, you know?
Right.
From where I come from, it made it even more important to me, I think, to fight for other people's rights. And I'm asking men, please fight for mine too, as women, because we still got a long way to go on all those fronts.
And it's I think you brought up a really good point. The good point being is that everyone has to stand up for everyone else, because when it's your turn, you want others to stand with you.
Exactly.
So the white people, the Latinos stand with the blacks and Latinos stand with the gays. I mean, women, men, we all are in this together. And if you look at yourself as a subgroup and think it doesn't touch you, you are mistaken.
Well, Mom, and, what were you saying?
And I just want to say that, you know, I can't believe in this country that the ERA has not passed. It's just shocking. And the thing that makes me upset is that there are more women in the United States than men. And if women would put out the vote and represent themselves, then this would happen. And not to shame women, but we need to just get people to speak up for their own selves.
And vote in their own self-interest.
Right.
It's a completely patriarchal society still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Mama. There's more women than men. But, you know, the claws of patriarchy are still, like, you know, are holding on to, like, the apron strings that are, like, you know, strangling women everywhere.
Well,
you know, it's
everybody, you know? Yeah. I mean, the, you know, patriarchy is the old white male world.
Straight.
Yeah, you know? Right.
You know? And, you know, it just makes me sad and angry.
Yes.
But on a positive note, we do have the freedom to speak out and come together and not only protest, but also celebrate. And Polly, on behalf of all of us and for everyone in LA, I want to thank you for everything you've always done for us, because you have been really the wind beneath a lot of our wings. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, God, I want to thank everybody out there for, like, being like, you know, like, you know, whatever, everybody, the weird, quirky, whatever the hell the adjective is at the moment, but, like, for just welcoming me so much, you know, it's just like, I was just like this weird kid, and, like, that the whole community has just been, I mean, oh, people that aren't aware and don't understand, they don't understand how loving we are, this whole group. It's such a, it's like going to Pride every year was like a giant hug from millions of people.
Absolutely.
You know, it just felt so good to be there, and just like, oh, like, just it's an embrace for all of us. And that, when I think when you had asked earlier, like, what are some memories, what are some all that stuff, but the largest memory that I have was just that feeling. It's like, just get there. You know, we're marching. It's the way, it's like, I can't wait to get there. And you just enter this world, you know, of, like, happy people and just loving people and people of all shapes and sizes and colors and kids. And also for those of us that have been doing this long, we remember the evolution of, you know, we've talked about this a lot, is that, you know, it used to be this big, and, you know, Gianna, you certainly know the numbers because you were, and then it was this big, and it was this big, and then the face of the movement started changing a lot, where there was, like, parents and kids and, uh-huh, like, all kinds of things. And then I, you know, I get in my, like, old lady mode, like, going back and thinking about it, is when we used to march, the Jesus Hates You people, there used to be,
that.
Like, I remember times when there was, like, hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And then it's so interesting because year by year,
exactly.
Then, like, the last few times was like three dudes there. Like, all the things.
But I mean, the cool part about Pride. But I mean, the cool part about Pride, at least the only one. Well, I was part of Long Beach as well, but my home was LA Pride. Is that we tried to have a sensitivity to constantly evolve as the community evolves. So every person or every new letter that was added to LGBT, we tried to address their needs within that tiny postage stamp of an area. We became, as the adoption started to be put forth with gay couples, their ability to adopt, we created a children's garden. So, I mean, our community has always tried to evolve and be inclusive. And it would be great when there, if it would be a world where it wasn't any labels, that we just accepted each other, we were colorblind, that it doesn't matter, that we were just people.
Right. Guys,
we're not on network television again.
Oh, sorry.
I know, that's okay. Jesus, she thinks there's a hard break coming. But Polly, I have kept you so long, but I adore you. I want to thank you for doing this with us. I just, it gave a little normalcy for us to kind of do what we would be doing. So yeah. I appreciate it.
I love you guys so much.
Thank
you. And Paul, you do me a favor and reach out to Billy and get my information.
Yeah, Paul, Joey, I'll send you everything.
Yes.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh. We're all just handed me a piece of poop.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Now it's turning into a very questionable kind of thing.
I love
Paul,
you.
Paul, we love you. Happy Pride. And Joey, thank you so much, Joey. Oh my God, what the hell kind of show is this? Now it's gonna next thing you know, we have a snuff film.
It's a Cedric show.
Exactly. It's a John Waters movie all of a sudden. Now I see Paulie in the background still laughing. I'm pushing you to the end, just so you know. Just keep watching, Tig. Tig's like, okay, because we have another special guest with us. Gayanne, I'm going to pull you out for a second as well, and then I'll bring you back. We'll wrap with you. Oh my God, Mom, it's becoming exhausting.
I love it.
Okay, we have another special message. Here's, you know, a world that we didn't know would exist. Do you know that the Chippendales dancers, well, you know this, of course, have gay members?
Huh. You mean they're straight ones?
I know, exactly. But openly gay members, and they're doing these virtual home parties, which we'll get them on this show soon to do a little virtual show with us. But we have a message from the host of the Chippendales at Home Party. So let's just send this message out there.
What's up, LA Pride? It's Jason Michael here with the Chippendales in Las Vegas, Nevada. So as a member of the LGBTQ+ community, with all of my heart, I want to send you my love and wishing you a happy 50th Pride. We want to give a big special shout out to Billy Masters and Mama for making this event possible and allowing us to be a part of it. So once again, happy Pride LA, be safe, stand together, and most of all, spread love.
Well, that was really special.
Yeah, I was, you know, I'm telling you, people reached out to me during this. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
I can't tell.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if I take you out. Can you hear me now? We don't know if Mama can hear me. You know, leave. I'm going to just kick her from the
You know
side.
What, Billy? I'm going to sign out and sign back in.
Good. Okay, kick from the studio. You know, who needs her? Because I've got somebody in a red hat, so yes, it's you, ready to come on with us. And, I've been running late. So, you know, I'm juggling my men. I have known our next guest, God, I think since I moved to L.A. 20 years ago. And he was, again, another fun, cute club kid who latched onto my column and wanted to be the filth to go girl. And she was. When I did my my first talk show pilot, I was very pleased to have Willem there. As a matter of fact, I had Mama there with me. But let's start with Willem. He turned into this enormous global superstar who also appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race. Made a little bit of history by being a little nasty. And here he is, Willem. Baby, wait, no, I'm not. Oh, wait, I'm not getting your mic. I think you might be
hey,
muted.
Billy.
The mic. There you are. How are you, honey?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm fine. I love
you. Terrible, but I'm so good is just the
what's
easy
wrong?
Answer.
Honey, what's wrong? Oh,
just the world and my arms hurt holding signs. And like, that shouldn't even be something I'm complaining about. But, it was nice to see Polly. Like I met her at Club Makeup when Mama snuck me in, and a couple years ago I worked on that When We Rise show with her too, in different parts. But like I remember thinking I was like I would always see like her, Kristen Vagnus, Lance at all like the same like things.
Oh yeah,
Lance used to live right near that church.
Yep.
Chad Darnell like did his readings for Joey there. And it's just Polly's always like been somewhere where I've been like, hi, like we see each other and it's that.
But, and it's also, she also brings, you know, in that whole group brings a lot of light and warmth just in their presence. And I have to say, when I first met you, I saw you as like this little magical being that was always so happy and spread joy and love and was having a good time. And there were bad times. We sat and talked about a lot of those, but, I knew when I first met you where you were going.
I wish I would have. You should have told me.
Honey, I told you. You didn't listen.
I just remember working the doors at parties, and especially Jeffrey Epstein's party. Not that Jeffrey Epstein. Different Jeffrey Epstein. Just like being so like enthralled by like, oh my God, there's someone from the real world there. They're so famous. And just remember thinking like, wow, so famous. And then I ended up on a reality show and like, you know, kind of tripped down that same path. I don't go to Jeffrey's parties anymore because I'm usually out of town though. At least I don't have to.
Well, you went and you were the door and ran the audience. You were audience coordinator for my talk show pilot as well.
Yeah, I don't.
So, I mean, you've done it all. And so can we talk briefly? I know that you're over it. Who cares? You made RuPaul history.
I did until another girl got disqualified. Now I'm just a
just
number.
Recently. Yeah, I know, but you were first.
Yeah.
Was that a good experience being on the show? Because I've talked to a lot of the girls who've been very pro and very con. They have very mixed feelings. What about you?
I feel like to speak out negatively right now against it would be kind of a misstep, but like every experience has pluses and minuses, and there's a whole hell of a lot more pluses than negatives. The negatives were enough though that I definitely made my issues known with them, and that's fine. It was just a job to me. It was 3 weeks one summer almost a decade ago, and
it seems to me, because I know you, it seems to me you were pushing the limits and really kind of wanted to be booted.
No, I was self-producing the whole time. I knew that I had to be in New York for a musical in the middle of production for Danny Francesi. And Derek Barry, who was just kicked off All Stars, was my understudy. He did the first. He did the first two shows in New York, and then he knew that I was coming. And then I showed up for the last three, which was when the critics were there, and we won audience award from the Fringe Fest that year.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm glad I left. You know, I wasn't going to win the show anyway. Like, I knew it was Sharon. People aren't dumb. And I'm glad I would never say I regretted doing Drag Race. At all.
I want to show a couple of pictures because you have a long history with LA Pride. You were helping us in the early years before you became the presence that you are. We've had you on floats. Was that
the worst float ever? Because for like at least like more than half of it, there was no music because whoever didn't bring the right boombox or couldn't play their shit. I was so mad. I had to do so many drugs that day to have fun. And then the music started working a little bit at the end. It worked a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end, but nothing in the middle.
And then, of course, I love this picture, but this was what you did online with LA Pride.
Who did that? Photoshop. Wow.
I don't know, but it's gorgeous.
Fuck. It looks like someone put their toe in Vaseline and just smudged it all over my face.
Look, you take it. And now I'm going to bring Mama in because Mama has a long history with you.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Covered her in LA. How many hours were you in LA when I met you?
Okay. So I have the date written down somewhere, but I know it was maybe October 29th, 2001, probably, because it was the day before day or two before Halloween. I have it all in my journal. I'm writing my second book now, and I haven't gotten to that part yet, but I definitely lost a toenail within the first 2 days of meeting you because we did the whole Halloween parade. We're doing like pop-up shows, grocery cart, all decked out in patriotism. with like, we were all in Americana stuff. Paul Perales had like this blue jumpsuit on with stars. We were decked out. And I was like, this is my first Halloween in LA. And I'm with like this star. And where did Billy go?
That was amazing because it was right after 9/11.
Letting you two just talk. I'll be back.
Too afraid to come out to West Hollywood for the big parade because everyone thought somebody would bomb it. And yeah. I was like, no, we're going to go out there with the Star Spangled Banner and we're going to put on the show. And that's what we did.
And my boots were too tight and my toenail fell off about a month or two later. First, it turned into a mood ring. It was like bluish, then yellow, then purple. Pink, and then I yanked it off, and it has never grown back right. It grows totally northwest, like doing its own thing. It's like thicker. I remember thinking it's like, oh my God, it's my grandpa's toenail, and I'm only like 20. Because I was 19 when I met you.
We can't complain about feet around mama.
Yeah, true.
There's a rule on this show.
Hey, she's based on pedicures.
Yeah.
Work smarter, not harder.
There's an article coming out in the Los Angeles Blade, and it may be, I think it's out today, Mama. I did a story about Mama, who's been having some health issues. You'd never know it. We're here. And, you know, we have sort of a history. I mean, it's really kind of three generations, because I really think you could be our child, Willem.
Me?
You're a child. Although you were more of a child 20 years ago.
But I'm old enough to be your
mama. Mama's my mama, so yeah, like drag mama for sure.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Even your real mother, I'm probably older than her.
I don't know. She was born in 58, I think.
She's older.
Yeah. Thank God.
You won. You're the queen.
Willem, what do you have coming up? You're always working on a million things between songs and videos and projects and books and shows.
Right now, I have two podcasts that I do every week. We haven't missed a week in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And we talk about like politics and whatever we want to, and drag stuff, and highlight like gay musicians on one podcast on Fridays and Wednesdays. We took a page from the Golden Girls podcast called Out on the Lanai, and Alaska and I recap every episode of Drag Race one by one.
Great. Because
we're like, girl, we're going to keep making money off you. You don't want to pay us for repeats? Okay.
Fuck them.
Not fuck them, but use it to your advantage. And then I have a nomination right now for acting for the Daytime Emmys for a Netflix show called Eastsiders.
Oh, great. Which is a great show.
Thanks.
It's a great show.
And because I did my own makeup on the show, I'm also in my IMDb page says that I'm nominated for makeup too. So I'm a double Daytime Emmy Award nominee right now. So we'll see if I win this summer. And then based on that, I don't know, maybe earrings if I get two.
I think so. And I should mention, you mentioned Alaska. Alaska will be on this show in 2 weeks on the 25th.
Oh, cool.
So she'll be here as well. We're back with Frank Decaro, who, of course, loves both of you.
He put me in his book. I read his Mackie book. Mackie book is like with all of my like big, like cute coffee table books. People are like, ooh, what's this?
See? Yeah. And again, my mama as well is in the book. Willem, where do you want to go? Because as long as I've known you, you've been the most ambitious person in the room. So you've done everything. But what is your heart? What is the thing you want to do?
I want to own a club I want to own an adult club. I want to own a strip club in LA that 4 nights a week or 3 or 4 nights a week is dick dancers, like in Dallas and like the Knob Hill and all that. And then 1 night a week is for TS girls. Okay. 1 night a week is for dykes, like Jumbo's Clown Room night. And then 1 night a week Sunday is drag and like a drag show. And I told Alaska about it and she already told me, she's like, Mom, I'm gonna be the house mother, I'm gonna run that cast. And I was like, all right, like, so you know, I have that on my 10-year like plan. Like, I've always wanted, my grandparents owned a bar. I grew up like I grew up around alcohol and a lot of bad decisions. And I want to continue that legacy.
And if we could host something, you know, we're available.
Oh my God. I mean, this is part of the legacy right here. Mama is the reason at 19, I was able to jumpstart my career instead of waiting until 21 to get into clubs, because she introduced me to everybody. Drag queens are conduits for youth to find like ways to survive. She introduced me to Anthony Lopez, who got me a job flyering, which was the only reason I could make money under the table and survive in LA and go on auditions and try to follow other dreams. She snuck me into my first club at the El Rey with my arms stacked with dresses and wigs and boxes so they wouldn't card me. And then once I started going in drag, they never carded me anyway, but I was always with Mama. It was always me and the baby, who was like my best friend and my roommate. And he's a doctor now. Like, it's you raised some kids. You did it.
Well, I think there is this long tradition of drag queens really nurturing not only young drag queens, but young gay boys, young straight boys. They're very nurturing. Now, not all of them. Some are bitches. But
some are lecherous. Mama's not. She's the opposite. She was nothing but good-hearted. I would sit at the costume rental place with her, and she would teach me about fashion. There was a section at the top where it was like skimpy little like rhinestone crop tops and stuff, and it was called hooker tops. And she said, "That's your section. Climb the ladder." And I said, "I'm not a top." But I would borrow all these little cute shirts from there. And she taught me about Bob Mackie. And like I wore Bob Mackie to my Stars Born premiere because I wanted to feel like a star. And I was like, that's what Mama always would instill in us. And like, you know, it really helped having a mom.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I love you. And I wore a petticoat that she wore I got it made into a dress, and I wore that to the Emmys last year when I presented. And like, just being able to upcycle fashion and like have a legacy garment that'll go to someone else one day. I'm sure they'll have to let it out because it's so slender on me, but it's like so beautiful.
Like, took a petticoat and turned it into a dress because, you know, and you got that from my drag sale, right?
Yeah. Mama had some treasures she was looking to get rid of, and I was happy to post, and I showed up, and there were so many people. I was like, this is okay. I got to go dibs. I'll talk to you later, Mama. I went and got what I wanted, and then I came and said hi. And I got exactly what I wanted, and it's so beautiful.
Oh. Guys, I love both of you, you know, and we could chat forever, but I gotta keep it moving. Willem, thank you.
Get the pumping, queen.
Baby, thank you so much for doing this. I adore you.
Mama Willem.
Okay, Mama. I love you. Bye, Billy.
Bye, sweetheart. Oh my God. Okay, we're back. Hold on. Let me get rid of the rest of the show. Okay. Hey, everybody. So that is Pride 2021. We are almost at 100 shows that we've done. There were 75 last year. We are at 17. So, you know, by the end of this month, we will have done 100 shows. And I do not take for granted the fact that so many people have supported us, supported these shows, supported our efforts. And, you know, Pride is a great time to just be grateful. And I am grateful for all of you for sticking with Billy Masters Live, because God knows sometimes I don't really feel live. But nonetheless, I'm just getting our exit music ready. So anyway, I believe I have not had confirmation. I believe we will have two shows next week. There may be a show Tuesday. There is definitely a show Thursday. Next Thursday, 3 p.m., Dan Matthews, the brainchild behind the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, and not a bad-looking guy, I might add, has a great book out about taking in his mom and spending her last years with her as an openly gay man. And he's got great stories about so many people. I have the funny story. The first time,
this is how life is in West Hollywood. This sounds so ridiculous to even say. The first time I met Dia Matthews was through Pamela Anderson. Okay? There, I said it. Two of us were wearing swimsuits. That's all I'm going to say. We'll talk about it next week. And as I said, we will be having celebrating Broadway Bears. We will be doing a celebration tribute to the legendary Sylvester. There'll be a couple of more panel shows. There's so much things coming up. So be sure to just check out BillyMasters.com for all the details. And happy Pride. I don't think there's anything left to say. This has been Billy Masters Live. And of course, if we're here, we're live. Have a good weekend, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.